In June of 1972, Nicholas Whitman photographed vintage circus posters many layers deep in the protected bay of a barn near the intersection of Routes 346 and 22 in North Petersburg, New York. Around 2000, he returned to see what had become of the posters. The barn had been converted to an antique store, and just a few fragments of posters remained on the wall. However, a couple of lumps of circus posters, many layers thick and measuring about 3 by 5 each, advertising shows in Bennington, Vermont, and other local towns, had been pulled off the barn's wall and were in the former hayloft. Whitman then became the caretaker and documenter of these delicate slices of local history. The exhibit, The Circus is Coming to Town, at the Bennington Museum in Bennington, Vermont, brings together a selection of these poster fragments and Whitman's photographs to explore the history of the circus in Bennington and the environs at the turn of the 19th and 20th centuries. To tell us more, we welcome Jamie Franklin, the curator at the Bennington Museum, and Nicholas Whitman, the photographer for this exhibit. Thank you very much for being here, both of you. I appreciate it.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you.
All right. Let us begin with you, Jamie, as far as how this got on your radar.
Well, Nick is an artist, photographer in the area. I think he maybe had contacted me, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago. But I think the first time I saw the actual posters in person were when one of the large clumps prior to it being pulled apart, which hopefully we'll get into, was on view up at the Shelburne Museum in northern Vermont. They had an exhibition of circus posters, and Nick had lent one of those large 3 by 5 foot sections of posters, and it had a large what's the name, the date, Nick, I'm just, the term is not coming to me, the date of the poster. So they have little individual sheets where they would put on the large scale posters with a date, and it said Bennington, which obviously attracted my attention as the curator of the Bennington Museum. So once I saw that fragment in the flesh, I was immediately interested. And that was back in 2016. So it's been a little bit of a process of bringing these posters into the museum.
So, Nicholas, bring us to June of 1972, of how you came upon these posters and how that happened and what your initial reaction was.
72, well, that was, I was just becoming a photographer at that time, and it was a subject that I saw out of the corner of my eye going down the road looking into this barn where this lion poster was peeking out at me. And I went in and photographed it, and some other posters on the wall there, too. And it always haunted me. It was just a beautiful image. And so when the barn changed and the space became enclosed, became an antique store, we went back in and were able to find that big pieces of original posters were up in the hayloft. We took those, and then the problem was, what do we do with this thing? Because poster upon poster had been plastered on top of itself, kind of like wallpaper, except wallpaper 30 or 40 layers thick. And it was maybe an inch thick, too. So there was no getting it apart. And no conservator or anyone had any idea how to make the thing come apart so that we could actually see all the different posters that were encapsulated in this lump.
What was the difference in the condition from 1972 to when you went back in 2000?
Well, the things that I had initially been attracted to were gone. They'd been covered up. The space had been enclosed, and it had been made into an antique shop. So that was the end of those. But it turned out that some other pieces had been put away. So we were able to obtain those, and then the process began of, what do we do with them? How do we get them apart? And what do they all mean?
So I want to take that in two parts, because let me go with the second one first, which is, what do they all mean? Meaning putting it into a context as to a historical context of daytime and what we were talking about, what was being advertised in those posters.
There was so much there. There were circuses, and also there was advertising. And there was some political advertising also, advertising for tobacco and lots of horse medicine. So that was part of it. And circus was part of it, too, but also Wild West shows. And just this was the way that the major entertainment was advertised. And this was an unusual situation where the posters typically would be pasted on the sides of barns, and these are big posters. These are the like billboard size posters, and they came in pieces so that again they would be hung like wallpaper, section by section. It would have been done outdoors on a barn side, and it really only had an expected lifespan of a couple of weeks. The team would come through ahead of the circus and paper the town, they called it, and then the rain would take the poster away after the circus had come through. This particular setting was protected, which is unusual, and that's why they pasted poster on top of poster, and we have a situation where they survived, where otherwise they wouldn't have. Now, they didn't completely survive. We've only got maybe 10% of the original, so there was a lot of extrapolating and imagining what might otherwise be there, and you know, in some cases, we don't know what circus it was. In some cases, we do. There were a few clues that gave us dates, which was really helpful, so that we had an idea of the date range, which was from about the 1890s to about 1910. So we're kind of in that area.
Is it fair to ask the question of why they would have put posters in the bay of a barn?
Well, it was an open bay, and it was a shallow bay, and it probably was a livery where this was a space where a wagon would come in and people would disembark or embark and go on out. So it faced the road, and it still had protection. So that was a very unusual situation. A lot of these, we have never found another example. There's only one that we've been able to find a complete version of, and they just don't, because of these are the really big ones, they don't survive.
So when you say complete version, meaning that if they were doing another circus in say Amsterdam, right, then that poster may or may not be the same poster.
They would use the same. Each circus had their same poster for a given season, and then they would just paste a date sheet on top of it, letting you know that this was the date it was coming to your town.
So, as far as Jamie, as far as showing this and realizing that people are probably coming in thinking they're going to see full posters, that this is much more than that, of really an exploration of how these were saved and how these were recovered and the efforts that were taken to present this very exhibit.
Absolutely. I mean, it's as much about the long story of kind of Nick's passion for learning about and preserving them. You know, we go a little bit into the story of how they were conserved, which, you know, Nick mentioned before that he talked to many conservators who kind of said, this is a gamble. But I think the kind of intrigue and the sort of imagination that just the top poster. So he could only see the one image that was on top when he acquired these posters. But then as a curator, it allows us to tell so many different stories. It allows us to show Nick's work as a photographer, detailing kind of each of the posters, but also showing the process of conservation and these kind of random serendipitous collages that would be encountered as they were pulling the layers apart. It allows us to tell kind of the history of the local circus, because we did learn a number of really intriguing stories about the impresarios of the various circuses, that a lot of them were based out of New York State. But the whole process of conservation was one of the things that I find, because people come to museums and they expect to see an end product, whereas here they get to see basically a large-scale conservation project that's kind of in its midway point. And I think maybe Nick could maybe add a little bit to that.
Yeah, it was such a challenging situation. No professional conservator would touch it, because the chances of it going wrong were pretty high. we were very fortunate to have a paper conservation expert, Leslie Paisley, who had retired from the Williamstown Conservation Lab, and she agreed to work on the project. So we built a sink, a plywood sink, and it took a week of soaking these things to start to break them apart. And then
I just want to pause there for
sure.
A second to one of the things that I by the way, there's a beautiful book that you put out in regards to this called Circus Posters, Historic Posters Come to Light. But these posters, and I mentioned this briefly in the introduction, but three feet by 5 feet. So when you think of that sink, this is big. I mean, you're on a really large scale.
This is a sheet of plywood.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then lined with plastic. It was a homemade affair, but it worked. And we flushed and flushed to get as much of the paste out of it. And they were filthy, you know. But then imagine very old paper being wet for a week. So it was very tender, and it was quite a challenge to get the layers apart. And there was a whole setup with rollers and things that we were able to pull them apart. And as we did, we'd never seen these before. It was like an archaeological dig. You'd go layer by layer, and you never knew what was going to come up next.
You have a picture in the book, and one of my favorite things is showing pictures on the radio. So let me just explain it the best I can, which is you show a hunk of paper, and this is many, many layers of posters that you're going through. You have a pencil or a pencil-like object that is peeling back the layers to show how many layers are there. And you have one where there's a poster with obvious words on it, white or cream background, and then under it, bright blue. It's fascinating to me that you can retain the color, that by taking that out, even with the water, but also with the paste, that color doesn't diminish because it's so vivid.
Well, one of the great things about these posters, they pasted poster on top of poster, and it protected them in a way from, they didn't get exposed to the light. And so when they came apart, for the most part, the color was really quite strong. And also when they were wet, that amplified the color also.
And then how do you keep that?
Well, they do dry down so that the color is a little bit muted, but for the most part, they stayed pretty true.
And you can actually see in the one example where he mentioned that we found an existing example. It's actually a poster for Pawnee Bill's Wild West Show. And this is a poster that in its entirety was four sections that measured 10 by 20 feet. We have a small portion of one of the 10 by 20 foot sections. And in comparing the color of the partial poster that is in the group that Nick saved, the colors are much stronger than the poster that survived in Pawnee Bill's ranch and museum over in Oklahoma. So the condition was saved as a result of being neglected in a way.
And that show went from, was in Hoosick Falls.
Yes.
And then came from Mechanicsville.
That's correct, yes.
Yeah.
These circuses traveled by train. And this was considered the golden age of circus. They were circus trains. They were dedicated trains, and they would go from city to city or town to town. They'd stop at a pullout, and then they'd roll out through town on wagons, elephants, right down Main Street, camels, a whole procession, a circus procession. They'd set up a tent, enormous tents, and the circus would have its run of a day or two, and then back on the train and on to the next stop.
So this is Captain Obvious speaking, but so the layers on the bottom are the oldest, right?
That's correct, yes.
And from top to bottom, that can be an age difference of?
Well, we don't know exactly because we haven't dated the top and the bottom, but we're inside of 20 years, I would say.
Okay. A long period of time. I mean, well, two decades.
Yeah, that's right. And you can see the quality of the posters changes too. They're beautiful objects. These are chromolithographs, and in a way, they're much nicer than they need to be, especially if you're looking at a large object from a distance. The craftsmanship is just remarkable. So even though there are small pieces, they still read as really beautiful pieces of art.
Jamie, you touched on this, but are there any originals out there of the original art that was used to create the posters?
I mean, there is definitely some art for original circus posters, not necessarily any for the posters that are on view here. But a lot of people who have been visiting the show are interested in who were these artists, because the quality of the imagery is so amazing. We had a visitor last week. I was giving a tour, and she said she has a background in AI. And, you know, there's lots of controversy about how AI uses artist imagery to create new images. And she's like, she was looking at one of the images of a poster with a lion's face roaring. And she's like, no computer could generate an image that is as compelling and draws you in as these. So they really are beautiful works of art. So we don't know the names of the artists. Some of the original art may have been saved. There are a lot of circus archives out there. But the posters themselves stand on their own. So the exhibit has two very large sections, 3x5 sections of some of the most intact posters. So you can actually see the actual posters in person. But most of the exhibit is composed of Nick's beautiful photography that documents many of the layers, particularly some of the most interesting stories, the circuses that we know information about. And they're really beautiful images.
I'm assuming when you come across something with a name on it, a town name, then you've hit gold, right?
It definitely helps when you're trying to establish a date. And, you know, if you find a date on one layer and then you find a date on another layer, then you can assume that everything in between falls within that range. So that's pretty helpful.
There's just a couple here that I wanted to point to, but one is the one from Bennington. Is it Adam Forepaugh?
Correct.
And that's that circus.
That circus, yes.
And then later on, and this goes to the Great Fair in Cambridge in Washington County, not all that far away, of course. What I found really interesting about this poster is still the agricultural nature of it. This was the early going of the Washington County Fair. What we consider that now was in the fairgrounds in Cambridge, and then has since moved over to Middle Falls, Easton, or Greenwich, depending on which town wants to take credit for it. And if I say it, it'll start a fight. So, but as far as the celery, the watermelon, the fruits, the vegetables, I mean, this does show sort of a more agricultural fair.
It does. Well, that's what, you know, it's not just circus, it's kind of entertainment. So fairs were part of it.
And as far as, I guess the easiest way for me to ask this question is, do you think is your work done now, or are you you could do this?
It seems pretty open-ended because there are so many tangents that you can follow. The conservation work, they need a lot of work, and it's expensive, and we're trying to find ways that can make that happen. But, you know, there are just a lot of leads, and part of the idea of having the show out there and having the book out there is to find people that might know something. I've probed all the circus archives, and I've had some help, but there's so much that's missing, though, that I don't think we'll ever get to the bottom of it. It's like doing a puzzle in three dimensions with many of the pieces missing.
And locals know a lot, and their memory can be really spot on and not so spot on.
Well, they'd have to be pretty old locals because we're talking about 125 years ago.
But things that pass on within the context of a family,
True, yes.
Really interesting. Well, the exhibit is The Circus is Coming to Town at the Bennington Museum in Bennington, Vermont. It runs through the end of the year. You can find out more information by going to benningtonmuseum.org, benningtonmuseum.org. Nicholas Whitman is the photographer and the author of the book Circus Posters, Historic Posters Come to Light, and it's a beautiful book available at the museum. And, of course, you can see the exhibit Jamie Franklin is the curator. Thank you so much for being with us, both of you, and for sharing this these great finds. I appreciate it.
Well, it's been a pleasure, and I'll just also notice very quickly that Nick will be giving a gallery talk this Saturday from 3 to 4. So if people want to come meet Nick, learn about them, see them in person, come on Saturday.
Find out more, BenningtonMuseum.org, this Saturday for a gallery tour, BenningtonMuseum.org. Nicholas and Jamie, thank you so much for being with us. A great pleasure.
Thank you.
Be well. Yep. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.